Election Day 2012, obviously, it was just a regular Tuesday. I was doing the show. I just don't remember it being that big a deal. Of course, we've never seen anything like this, so who's kidding who? All right, let's get to our task at hand. It's how we wrap Crunch Time on a Tuesday. Let's let Alex lead off.
Twitter makes fools of us all. To mediate reporter Josh Feldman, I ask.
What are you doing?
Speaking of which, I guess. We all know the final results of the World Series. Cubs finally reversed the curse, ended the longest championship drought in all the professional sports we follow in America. And we also know that today is Election Day and that America has been, shall we say, on edge the last few months because of the lead up to today. That includes Feldman, who writes for Mediate, which is sort of a political and social commentary website, covers opinions on a bunch of things, including politics and the Cubs, because literally everyone covered the Cubs winning. So Feldman, apparently not a huge baseball guy. You know how when a pitcher strikes somebody out, fans post a K for it, like the sign with a K on it? This happened in a game he was covering. It happened three times, as a matter of fact. Thus, there were three Ks, which, you know, in any other place in civilized society would be frowned upon. Feldman didn't get the baseball angle to the three Ks, and according to sources close to Mediate, wrote an entire story about how racist fans in Chicago were making a political racist statement during the World Series.
Wow.
Mediate apparently had to rewrite the entire story from his take about the impending civil war caused by a prospective presidency of a certain candidate. And they had to inform Feldman of some basic baseball information. They gave that guy press credentials? Wow, as we ask.
What are you doing?
To the wife of Buffalo Bill kicker Dan Carpenter, Kayla, I ask.
What are you doing?
Now we've seen the Richard Sherman offsides attempted murder of the Buffalo Place kicker because he's clearly the worst case of man's inhumanity against man since Stalingrad.
Duh.
But my cardinal sin, are you a wife, a brother, or any member of an entourage? Be silent. No one cares what you have to say. Without Vince, Johnny Drama is a has-been before he was an is. Ian Turtle are pushing pizza in Queens. She suggested Sherman is an animal who can't control his rage, and on the farm that means castration, and tweeted this out. Kayla, how are you handling your rage with a tweet like that? Kettle, meet teapot, as we ask.
What are you doing?
Victory!
To the NFL Hall of Fame, I ask.
What are you doing?
There's been a pretty big uproar this week about the NFL Hall of Fame not giving Ken Stabler's family a gold jacket or ring of excellence like they give to other inductees. The Hall's policy has always been to only give jackets and rings to inducted members who are alive at the time and to not do so when the inductee is deceased. Obviously, that's the case with Stabler. Pretty much everybody is speaking out about the policy. Tom Hanks even said that they should give Stabler's family his ring. Mark Davis brought up the fact that there's no way he should have his dad's ring while Bruce Allen doesn't have his dad's. He also brought up the fact that Junior Seau's family got the same ridiculous treatment. Look, just because it has been your policy for a long time doesn't mean it's a good idea and shouldn't be changed. That's how a lot of good common sense things happen. There's a dumb rule. People call attention to the dumb rule, so the powers that be change the dumb rule. Amy Trask, a CBS analyst, said it perfectly. This makes no sense. It's petty. No good reason not to give these to the families of players inducted posthumously. Fix this, please. It's stunningly thoughtless to families of those who have compromised their health to play. It's simply dumb. Amen, as we ask.
What are you doing?
To Darren Revell, former credible ESPN journalist, I ask.
What are you doing?
Tries to break a story in the middle of the Oregon game. Talks warming up. Phil Knight wants a national championship, willing to throw an insane $10 million a year at a football coach. Has Phil Knight ever publicly commented on basketball or football or track or volleyball or anything that remotely relates to the running of a sports program? That being no. So right here now, while the game's going on, what? Did he call a press conference? Did he have one of his underlings provide a story? Or is this the classic clickbait, just making crap up, hoping he gets views and more attention? Lowest hanging fruit, total garbage, as we ask.
What are you doing?
And he's protected because, say, you know, Nick Saban is like, I don't want to coach Alabama anymore. And Phil Knight's like, hey, how much would you take to coach at Oregon? $10 million work? Yeah, okay. So he's like, ah, anybody, $10 million, Nick Saban, ah, I was right.
I call bull cookies.
Absolutely. To people who paid for Pacquiao versus Vargas, I ask.
What are you doing?
Did anyone even know that Manny Pacquiao was boxing over the weekend? Seriously, I saw the ticker run across the bottom of the page during SportsCenter and was like, wait, what? Like, Manny Pacquiao, the boxer? Those look like boxing scores, so I guess he must have fought some dude named Vargas. Yeah, they fought. And apparently it was for a title belt. So Manny won the welterweight title away from Vargas. I know, right? Like, okay. And now the Pacquiao win has led many people around the sport to proclaim it as a surefire sign that Pacquiao and Mayweather will get the rematch literally no one on the face of the earth wants to see. Other than those two guys, of course, because those two guys get paid boatloads of money to chase each other around the ring because morons for some reason pay for the pay-per-view. Stop enabling these guys. It's like they think we're the biggest suckers in the world. I'm retired. Psych! Give me $50 million. No, dude, we have other sports with entertaining athletes we like watching. The only reason you still have your phony baloney jobs is because of people like the ones who paid for Pacquiao versus Vargas. As we ask.
What are you doing?
It's exhausting.
Sure is, man.
To the College Football Playoff Committee, I ask.
What are you doing?
I get you're all highly educated, great resumes. We've got a Secretary of State, for God's sakes. Don't mock us. We really care. Some spend their time and money supporting your sport. Some actually earn a living covering a team or doing a sports talk show or, you know, college football in general. When you put a team with a loss over an unbeaten team, you belittle the entire system. I get you want to generate excitement, attention, get people talking. Well, that works when you get it right. We'll learn if you continue to make all of these rankings a clown act until the next one, I guess, in 10 minutes. Put it this way. If it's not Bama, Michigan, Clemson, and Washington, we're on to you. You're mocking us, as we ask.
What are you doing?
By the way, I feel like I've been chasing Pacquiao and Mayweather around the ring. It's all very exhausting.
Yeah, that, when you consider what his being in a fight over the weekend would have generated even 5 years ago, and the fact that I believe he ended up springing for 2,000 tickets, which was more than 10% of the live gate, that kind of speaks annoying volumes.
Isn't that crazy? Like the boxer himself paying for a whole bunch of those tickets. Did he just give them out in the street or what?
I would assume so.
Jeez.
Honestly, if I was in town, I don't think I would have wasted my time on that fight. Look, I mean, I guess they said, look, come to the fight. Here's a couple $100 in chips for after, free dinner. I'm in. And it's like, free tickets? Nah.
Good
luck, man. Be healthy. But I have no interest in watching you fight.